Yes, that's very true. Eagle FM, Namibia number one talk radio stations. A very good morning to you if you're just joining us. This is Eagle FM, your number one talk radio stations. My name is Mike Oshoveli, and welcome to Unpacking the Day. It's a beautiful morning. It's a beautiful Wednesday morning. And so thanks to David. Yeah, no, he had a very good discussion there on voluntarism. Voluntarism, you know. So it's especially for young people today. So you must start, if you're sitting at home and actually have nothing to do, so better start actually volunteering. And that gives you experience. It gives you exposure. Some of the things that you may, sometimes later on, when you ask for experience and things like that, you know, you're picked up by just sitting at home. There are so many places that you can actually volunteer. I can give an example of myself. I started volunteering actually here at Eagle FM. Nothing, you know, for almost a year or so, just volunteering. Yeah, until, well, I was given up this program is at least, you know. So, you see, it's very, very important to volunteer because it gives you experience. It's also expose you to, especially for young people, as I said, who haven't been really in, maybe you haven't worked before. You just finished your graduated. And you're looking for work, so volunteering could be another way and an option to do, because you're looking for that experience. So I really, really encourage that you take up volunteerism as well in your area. Whatever, it doesn't matter what it is. So whether you decided to go and help at the restaurant, whether you go and decided, you know, and find any institutions, you know, if you have a Red Cross in your area. If you have those NGO. If you have some kind of NGO that are working in your area, so go to them, and find out what, especially with your interest. What is your interest? Go to those that have your interest, and then volunteer. So. I think it's good for your experience. Good morning. Our time is about 4 minutes past the hour of 8. Welcome to Unpacking the Day. My name is Mike Oshoveli, and this is your daily dose of what is really going on in business, economic, and politics. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, the trends, and the numbers, those numbers that are making headlines. And we keep it clear, a little witty, and also always being curious, asking the questions that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment do not necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. Here we unpack what others are saying, spark meaningful conversation so that you can be to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So good morning to you and welcome to Unpacking the Day. Today is the 3rd of September, and we start with our first segment on this day in Africa. So what happened on this day in Africa? Let's look at some of significant event that happened on the 3rd of September in the history of Africa. Afriki, you know. So in South Africa, let's start in South Africa. A couple of things happened in South Africa today. So in 1919, on this day in 1919, Jan Smuts, remember Jan Smuts? Jan Smuts assumed office as the second Prime Minister of South Africa, succeeding Louis Botha, who had died in August. So also in South Africa, in 1989, on the 3rd of September 1989, thousands of black South Africans marched and defied apartheid laws by, what did they do? By bathing at white only beaches. You know, there were beaches that were, you know, white, black people were not allowed to go to. So, and you find those board, you know, written white only. So, what did they do? The black South African marched and defied the apartheid law by bathing now at whites only beaches. That was a very pivotal act of civil resistance amid mounting pressure on the regime, on apartheid regime. So, and lastly, in South Africa, so also, South Africa adopted a new tricameral constitution under apartheid, which created separate parliamentary chambers of created separated parliamentary chambers, one for white, the other one for colored and Indian population as well, but excluded black South Africans. Only black didn't have a parliament chamber. So it was white, colored and Indian population, but excluded black South Africans. So yes, and in 1987, in Burundi, a military coup d'etat in Burundi deposed Jean-Baptiste Bagaza with Major Pierre Buyoya taking power and suspending the constitution. So, yeah, that was in 1987 in Burundi. So there's so much, you know, I think it's kind of a style in Western Africa, you know, there are so many military coup d'etat. So in that area to depose presidents, sometimes even democratically elected. So it has become a style in West Africa actually to coup, to actually do military coup to overthrow the government. So, yeah, that's what we have. Those are the significant event we recorded on this day in Africa. So, yeah. So that's what we have in our on this day in Africa. So, and what is our thought for the day? Our thought for the day, the 3rd of September on Wednesday, the 3rd of December. Once bitten, twice shy. You have heard that name? Once bitten, twice shy. So, I think this proverb convey the idea that a negative or a painful experience makes one cautious. It makes one cautious or even hesitant to repeat the same kind of a situation again. So the proverb reflects a natural human tendency to learn from negative experiences and avoid repeating mistakes. So, yeah, it emphasizes learning from past misfortunes or past mistakes to protect oneself in the future. So once bitten, twice shy. So hopefully, so you were once bitten, hopefully you won't repeat the same mistake again. So, and that would help you that help in the course of the day when you make whatever major choices and decision you're making through the course of the day. So once bitten, twice shy. Please don't avoid repeating mistakes. So, yeah, that's our thought for the day today. So good morning, and if you're just joining us, welcome to Eagle FM. Stay connected with us wherever you are. Whether you're in a car, whether you are at home, whether in the office, one thing that you can do is make sure that you download the Eagle FM mobile app, and that would be able to connect you wherever you are, anytime, anywhere. So, yeah, download that. You can get that from Google Play or Play Store. And as I always said, and if this is your first time, this is a must-have. This is a must-have mobile app. Eagle FM mobile app, it's a must-have, because on that app you have so many features. Where you have also podcast. One of my favorite is a podcast. I always get a time when I couldn't listen to other favorite program that I like. I can always go back and listen to that as well. So there are so many reports on there, and it's updated on anything that is going around the world and around the country. So make sure that you download the Eagle FM. And today is Wednesday, and if you're looking for the latest business and economic news, well, get yourself a free copy of The Villager, and this, it doesn't take much. It's just simply sending your WhatsApp message with your name and email to 08 1 200 44 44. So send your WhatsApp message with your name and email to that number, 08 1 200 44 44. So, and The Villager is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. The Wednesday one edition is already out. So, and if you do that, so make sure that you subscribe for your Friday one coming up Friday. Maybe you are late for today's one, so, but subscribe for starting Friday already. So The Villager comes out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So yeah, and please do follow Eagle FM and The Villager on our media platform, social media platforms. So we are on X, we are on LinkedIn, we are on Instagram, we are on Facebook, we are on Telegram, we are on WhatsApp. So make sure that you follow us, and you know, when you are there, leave a like, leave a comment. So engage us, okay? Talk to us. So we want to hear from you, definitely. We will talk to you whenever as soon as we get a time as well to respond to your answer or questions that you may have. And if you want to advertise your business or an event or a function or a workshop or a conference, sometime through, you know, a real-time exposure via live streaming and broadcasting, please do contact us. Contact our office. Our telephone number is 083-288-400. So, good morning to you, and thanks for joining us. So what are you going to expect today? What are you going to expect today? So we purely going to focus on The Villager, on some stories that we had on The Villager. Previous Monday, we have a story on Namibian green schemes. I had that story all the time, but we always have another, you know, story that we focus or an interview, and we never really get in it. There are issues that came out when the president actually visited the Kavango East. So, and there are things that, because this is a very important, that these green schemes things are very important, because that's our food basket. And we need to look, is this a fresh start, or it's more of the same thing? Maybe just, you know, dressed it in a different, what? So we're going to go to that. We're going to look at that one again. And today, in today's story, in today's edition of The Village, there's also, which is actually part of the whole things. So there's also, the president also mentioned, okay, there will be also, the Ministry of Agriculture will provide hybrid solar system, you know, to benefit three green scheme. So part of that, we're going to bring that in as well. We're going to look at that article in today's edition of The Village as well. And go into that a little bit also, analyze that as well, unpack that as well. And also, there's also a story about certified seed sector to be established to reduce import. Very interesting. So, yeah, we also gonna, it's agriculture today. So we're looking at more on issues of agriculture, because that's also one of the priority in NDP6. So as you can see, let's go green. Let's go agriculture. So that's what we're going to do this morning in unpacking the day. So stay tuned. We're going to be back in a short while.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Very good morning to you. Yes, this is Eagle FM. If you're just joining us, you are at the right frequency. You are at the right station, and you just tune in the right, you know, in the right show. So my name is Mike. I'm your host. I will be with you from now until the hour of 10 o'clock. So unpacking the day starts at 8 and we end, we say bye-bye at 10 o'clock. So, yes, stay tuned as we cut through the noise and get to the heart of the stories that matter to you. So, yeah, we all saw the headlines last week. President Thumbonane Ndaitwa visited the Kavango East region, touring the Shadi Kongoro, yeah, Shadi Kongoro and Ndongalinena Green Schemes. And, well, it's a new leader, showing commitment and, promising to tackle food security. You remember I was saying that, yes, I have, you know, I have promised to provide food security, to this country. So I'm paraphrasing. Those are not her words, but that's what she said. I'm paraphrasing. So, yeah, she said, I promise to deliver. Okay? So that's great. That's great. The promises sound even better from the president. So, and actually, this was another story by Anacleta Ikera that was actually in Monday's edition of The Villager. So that was the story there. So, and as you know from Unpacking the Day, so we don't just read the headlines, so we read between the lines. So now let's unpack what is really going on with our green schemes. Is this the dawn, should we say? Is this the dawn of a new era? Or are we just plowing the same old tired field, or the same old tired, you know, schemes of, you know? So now let's look at that. First, let's have a little bit of history, you know, so that we understand the context, because context is everything. Okay, so otherwise, you know, we might take it out of context. Now, these green schemes, you know, think of them as our national food basket, okay? So we came, it's a prime land right next to our, you know, our river, a perennial river, you know, there is water all the times there. So the aim was really to grow food on a massive scale, you know, to grow food on a massive scale for the nation. That's the idea. That's what was designed. That was the purpose. So the dream was very simple. Use our water, our fertile soil to feed ourselves and also to create jobs. So beautiful dream. So that was the dream, and it's a dream that started. Massive things that you're talking about. So a solar plant big enough to power these massive irrigation schemes, you know, will cost a fortune, will cost a lot and a lot of money. So we are talking about hundreds of millions of dollars. Does the government have that cash lying around? So did the government just have some money somewhere, you know? So wherever you're taking it, wherever you're taking that money, you know, there's a shortfall there. So you're denying a service that, there's a service that you're denying somewhere. But also make sure that, you know, this is going to work. So you also have to make sure that it's going to work. So that's my question, is that, is there, who's going to pay for it? Does the government have some cash lying around somewhere? So if not, where does it going to come from? Is it another loan? We, the taxpayers, will have to pay back? Would it be a loan? You know, solar is a great idea. Definitely, it's a great idea. But I think it's not a magic stick that you just wave. And, you know, it's not a magic stick. It's a massive, expensive infrastructure project. Has it been? Now, that's also something that you can see. So because the president in today's article is asking to fast track, you know, with the Minister of Finance actually to do that. So that means it was not budgeted. It wasn't budgeted. So where does the money, where's the money going to come from? So, and also we need to ask for the plan, not just the promise, because there is this promise, but what is the plan? What is that everybody can be able to look? We can be able to see that what is going to happen. So it's not just the promise that we need to hear. We need to see. Where's the plan? Or do you know? Do you have the plan? Do any one of you understand what is the plan? I hear the promise. I hear the promise. I hear the president what say. I hear the minister what he says. You know, but where's the plan? Now, let's go for the big one, the one that makes people either hopeful or nervous. You know, private sector partnership. Private sector partnership. So the president was very careful with her words when he was talking about this. She said there will be partners, not a replacement. So that's if you go into the article, and what a president, if you listen to her as well, coming from the news and all that, so other news on other platforms. So the president said partners, not replacement. She said the government has invested too much to just hand the farms over. So, and well, from the president, that sounds reassuring, definitely sounds reassuring for us. But, so what do they say? But let's play the devil advocate here. So let's play the devil advocate. Now, because the president is saying it's a partner, not a replacement. Okay? Now, let's play the devil advocate. A private company is not a charity. So its number one goal is profit for a private sector. Number one goal is profit. So what happens when a private partner comes in? So that's one of the solutions that the president actually suggests. When a private company comes in, what happened? So what happened when a private partner comes in now? Now, will they commit it to growing? Now, you know that this schemes actually, they are growing, you know, staple food that we eat, that maize, mahangu, whatever the case may be. Will now they committed to growing maize, you know, to fill our silos and feed the nations? Would they commit to that? Or will they look at the number and realize, they can make some more money here? They can make some more money by growing, let's say, for example, lucerne or blueberries to export to Europe. Now, these private partners, as I said, private partners, they are not for feeding the nation. They are for profit. So they would want to grow crops that would make money for them. Blueberries, lucerne, you know, and other cash crops, as they call them, you know, cash crops that would make money. They would want to that. They want to, you know, they would do that to be able to make money. So they want to do that. So that's the problem. So, and who ensures that the goal of national food security remain the top priority? Now, when you have this now partners, now the private sector partners, now who's gonna ensure when you have now the private sectors maybe want to actually, as I said, we know that they're not for feeding the nation, they are for profit. So now when you have this partnership, you know, with private sectors, who ensure that the goal of national food security remain the top priority, that we continue growing maize, you know, to feed our to fill our silos, or mahangu or potatoes or tomatoes or things like that. And the other thing is, what happened to the small scale farmers on these schemes? Would the private partner see them as an asset to be empowered, or as an obstacle actually to manage or to, yeah? Yeah. Because you have those small scale farmers on the schemes, on these schemes. So now the private partners, so how do they see them? Do they see us as an asset that they need to empower, or they see this as a problem that need to be managed? So, and when you talk about partnership sounds equal. It's equal, you know, but we have to ask, who will have the real power at the table? Who will have the real power at the table? The government with a social mandate, or the investor with cash? So the government have a social mandate, but the sectors that you ask, the investors, well, it's cash. Now, who will have the real power? Now, when it comes down to to decide. So, and this is the debate we need to have openly and honestly. So, as I said, certain things, there are promises that are set at the, you know, just at the scuff, at that point and at that moment. But when you go deeper into it, you know, there are hurdles and challenges, and those are, as I said, this is the debate we need to have, you know, openly and honestly. So, and there's another angle, okay? The voice now from the ground that I think is very crucial. On that article, we have a small scale farmer. His name was Lazarus Nande. He points the finger to the middleman. So he points that the middleman, he says farmers cannot make actually profit because they have to buy the seed. You know, they have to buy their seed, their fertilizer, their pesticides. Pesticides. Yeah, from middlemen who inflate the price. And the third article that we're going to have is also looking at the agreement of UNAM actually to grow these resistant seeds and things like this. Now, would UNAM become also now the middleman? So you can actually change from middlemen outside the country, you know. And then you can still have, I mean, what I'm trying to say is that the we get, you know, this from seed and fertilizer from outside. So then when you have one institution, it can become also a monopoly of that, you know, which wouldn't make any difference at all. So now, so the farmer can make profit, and he said they can't make profit because they have to buy their seed and their fertilizers and their pesticides from middlemen. And normally, in most cases, they actually inflate the prices. So, and this is a huge point. So we can fix the electricity that we talked earlier. Eh? We can fix the electricity. We can bring in the new tractors, or, but if the whole supply chain, if the whole supply chain is designed to squeeze the farmer, we are still losing the battle. So you can fix the other things, but if there's still your whole supply chain is really inflated with things like that, then definitely you're still losing the battle. So the president is talking about what happened on the farm. So, but this farmer is telling us the problem also lies off the farm. It's not only what the problem is, not only on the farm, but it's also off the farm in your, you know, whole supply chain. If you have a problem in your whole supply chain, which is not sometime on the farm, then you still have a problem. So, but are we listening? So, and the question is, will the government have the political courage now to dismantle this network of middlemen? And they are everywhere. Eh? They are everywhere. They penetrate, you know, the government system. So, will they have the courage to dismantle these networks of middlemen that have been profiting from the system for years? Or is that a fight too difficult to pick? The reason why I'm saying that it could be difficult to pick, because it depends who is the middleman. So who is the middleman? So sometimes that could be difficult because, you know, it's some people that are very close to those who make decisions. So, and this middleman has been, I mean, we heard from, who is it? The former Minister of Justice, is it Kavana, you know, talking about that. So on the same occasion, that was a different trip. I'm not too sure. I can't remember when he was saying this. So now that's a challenge. That's a really, 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 really big challenge. And this is not only about here. This is something that have penetrated, you know, the system, the government. So we continue after this commercial.
What does financial inclusion look like in Namibia and Africa at large? Tune into Financially Included, where money meets access, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 6 p.m. live on Eagle FM to hear about the different opportunities, services, and methods that foster financial inclusion in the country and the continent at large. Financially Included, where money meets access. Proudly brought to you by FNB Namibia.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Welcome back. And our time is about 45 minutes past the hour of 8. And if you're just joining us, this is Unpacking the Day. So, and we just unpacking some of the issues that are coming from the visit of the president in the Kavango East, issues that raised from the green schemes, and what also the president have talked about, and the plans that comes out of those meetings with the managers and the region stakeholders, you know. So yeah, that's what we are unpacking at the moment. So and finally, let's talk about the promise. The president made a powerful personal commitment. So she said, and I'm paraphrasing, I commit myself to feed the Namibian people, and I will do not lie to them. Unquote. That's what the president said. So these are very strong words. That's a leader putting herself, putting her personal credibility on the line. And you have to respect that. I think you have to respect that. It shows this is not just another checklist item to her, for her. It feels personal. When she speaks, it honestly feels personal. Yeah, and I said, you have to have respect for that. I think you have to have respect for that. So, but as we all know, you know, political will is like, it's like the rain in drought. So we desperately need it, but we have been disappointed by empty clouds before. So the real test will not be in the speeches, okay? It will be in the budget allocations. Like as I said earlier, where does this money come from? It will be in budget allocation when we see that our mouth is where our is where our mouth is. Our action, okay? Our action is where our mouth is. So, as I said, the test is not in the speeches. It will be in the budget allocation. It will be in the transparency of this new private sector deal. So we need to see, like, the issues that we've been talking about. So we need to see, it will be then in there, if there is transparency, and it will be whether that small scale man, that farmer, Mr. Nande, can he finally buy his seed at a fair price without a middleman? You know? So that's where the test will be. Okay? So not in the speeches. So what are the key takeaway maybe from this? It's that the problems at our green schemes are deep and historic. They are not just, this is not just, it's something coming from a long way. This is not just about a broken tractor. It's about a broken system as well, a broken trust left behind by Agribus Def, you know, by this agricultural business development. Secondly, the proposed solution, solar power, private partnership, those are promising, but they are not simple. They are not simple things that, you know, are easy to do. So they are full of risk, unanswered question that we, the public, must keep asking. Who pays, who profit, and who is really in control? So those are some of the questions that. And thirdly, the president has made a powerful personal promise, and this really raises the stakes, as they said. It raises the stakes. So we now have the benchmark against which to measure, you know, her government's performance on food security. So because she put herself there, that this is what I wanted to happen. So it's a challenge to all of us, the media, the opposition, and you, the public. So to hold her to that promise. So this is not just a story about, you know, about farming the Kavango. This is a story about the food on our table, the prices you pay for it, and the future of our nation's ability to stand on its own 2 feet. So what do you think? Are you optimistic or are you cautious? Let's continue conversation. Very good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. You are a little bit further.
How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself, man?
Good. Yeah, the concept of private, public-private partnership.
Yeah.
It has been there for some time now. And it seemed to be a possible entry point for us to produce those agri-produce.
Yeah.
Whatever we want to produce. But your question, you seem to be worried about how, if they supply, if they produce more, and then they have surplus.
No, I didn't go to that. Yeah.
Oh, maybe you forgot your concept that you mentioned.
What was the question?
You said, if they produce more on those agri projects than Dongarimenes and many others, if they produce more, is that not good for you?
If they produce more, what is the question? What is the question that I ask?
Yeah, you said, then what happened if they produce more?
No. I didn't ask that question.
What did you ask?
No, there are many other things that I ask. Uncle Bana, I didn't ask that question. You understand?
Which one did you ask?
There are many questions.
I'm always writing here the question and the concern, your concern that you...
But I'm saying that I didn't ask that question. So let's go on with other things that
so
we talk about.
So much concern about the production of those, from those green scheme. And if they produce more, the better.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm not concerned about that at all.
Which one were you concerned of?
I said I'm not concerned about that.
The private, the public-private partnership. And also how we can... because you are saying that there is just a replacement. That's what Tumbo is saying, isn't it? So replacement of maybe the management style, the replacement of those who maybe the equipment that may not be, have been working. And remember this very this project that you mentioned, this blueberry.
Yeah.
Those ones, you know how much they have exported to Europe or wherever? How much the figure that they have exported? Because they have been in operation for many years now, and they are doing a marvelous job.
When I mentioned, okay, I think sometimes that's out of when I mentioned the blueberry is the whole question of. So what I said, okay, the government have a responsibility now to feed the nation, and what are the products that normally we feed the nations? It's like the maize, it's the mahangus, and all that. And then I said, when now you bring in the power, the partnership, their goal is profit. Would they concentrate on things like mahangu and fruit, or would they think of crops like blueberries because they want to make profit?
They are already focusing on the blueberry they have been producing and they are exporting.
Yeah, no, that's a different farm. That's a different farm that is actually doing it.
You can diversify the economic activity. If you don't want to produce maize or mahangu, which you have already, pile it up in your silo there, then you can produce the ones that are not in the market already.
Yeah.
That's why we are talking about economic diversification. And there are actually 92 products that were listed there that you should be able to produce. If you have the mahangu and maize, which are more already in the market, Why can't you then diversify and produce what is not there? Even those mahangus and the maize that you are talking about, they can also be converted into something that you do not have.
But Angobwana, these schemes haven't been producing.
They have not been producing. That's why they are being
They haven't revived. Been producing. So they now, that's why now the president is actually, you know, adamant that, you know, something need to be done. You know, to start producing.
It's not only maize and mahangu that the president is talking about. He's talking about many other products that can be produced there. The maize and mahangu, we know already that we are producing more.
That's just an example I gave. It's not that I'm not saying that's all what is produced. It's an example I gave.
I'm not saying that is not the example that you gave. That's why I'm just repeating that. It's not only, those are not the only two products that that can be produced there. So the maize can also be converted into something else. If you have now maize and mahangu, which you know that you are producing, why can't you then go to something that you are not producing? And that's why the president is concerned. So the social responsibility for the government is not only the government that has got the social responsibility. Even the private sectors, even though they are making profit, they are focused to make profit, so they are also having the social responsibility, just like the government. That's why you partnership up with the public-private partnership. So you, as a private entity, you can also look at the social responsibility that you are entrusted to. Not only the government. You as an individual, you have a social responsibility role to play.
So definitely,
So don't forget always that one. So when you mention about the government's social responsibility, look at yourself also. Strip the coin. But so that we know very well that even though you are focusing on the profit maximization, what about the social role that you have to play? That's the reason why they brought up that triple P. So, and the other thing is that I don't know how to engage with you in particular. Because otherwise we'll just be having confrontation, negative confrontation actually, which is also healthy.
No, I don't see negative confrontation. So what we does is working. If you come and you debate something, that means it doing what it's supposed to do. So I don't expect you to come here to agree with me. I don't expect now always to. There are things that we
agree. I don't normally agree with something that is not clear to me. That's why I came in and try to interrogate and get some clarification. But you always come to on your defense. I don't know what could be the problem.
No. I don't come to any defense.
So now, Meretumbo is saying, even those who are, this is actually from you. So even the private sectors who are focusing on maximizing
their
profit.
We're going to commercial break quickly, and then you can just hold on.
The International University of Management, IUM, is excited to announce that applications for the 2026 academic year are now open. Explore a wide range of qualifications across our dynamic faculties and schools. Faculty of Environmental Management and Sustainability Sciences, Faculty of Health Sciences, Faculty of Information and Communication Technology, Faculty of Strategic Management and Business Administration, School of Primary Education, School of Secondary and Postgraduate Education, Postgraduate Studies, and the Graduate School of Business. Whether you are in Windhoek, Karankuru, Enana, Ongodiva, or Walvisbay, your future starts at IUM. For more information, visit www.ium.edu.na or call us at 061-433-6000. Go ahead, make the right choice, and step into your future with IUM, a Namibian university dedicated to its people's future.
All right, Angabu, make the point.
I'm going to close now. How do you go through all this informal market? and you see the produce, agri-produce that are coming from those farms or wherever they are coming from. And many of them are also getting rotten. Why? Is it not that because of the surprise? And the reason why we should not allow those produce to go west, to go to west, or go west, I don't know the kind of English that you can put today. So isn't it because we ourselves, because even if the government is going to produce a lot from those green schemes, they might still be wasted. If we are not coming up with innovation, technological innovation, to say yes, we are now going to convert these cabbages, what is it, this cabbage that you produce, these tomatoes, the carrots, the even the mahangu, maybe forget about mahangu, maybe the mahangu they can. Are we not coming up with the innovation to make sure that yes, technological innovation to convert these tomatoes into whatever you want to convert?
Yeah.
Why are we not doing that? You see the government to come in. I thought maybe through this partnership entry, you can do better, because when you are now in the partnership with the government, like the president is saying, it's partnership. If you get into that partnership, you can be assured that your energy, your resources will never go to waste.
All right.
When are you going to innovate on that, or encourage people to come in and innovate on this issue for just economic diversification? So thank you very much for an opportunity.
No, thank you for coming through, yeah?
Good.
All right. Our telephone number is 08333-66091. Eagle FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, Dr. Mike, how are you?
I'm fine, man. Yourself?
I'm all right, Mike.
What I'm saying is that, you know, what if we, this is the whole idea, you analyze things, and if it invoke people to come angry or happy or whatever,
happy, exactly.
That's exactly what it's supposed to do. That's exactly doing what it's supposed to do.
But why you want to put a word in your mouth which isn't saying it?
No, it's okay.
The nature of what? You know, debate.
Exactly.
Because we agree and disagree.
We agree and disagree. Yeah.
Exactly.
So,
Mike, I think it's a good thing that our president speaks, but sometimes I think there is too much speech.
Yeah.
We need a reality now. Tangible is that. We need a policy which, you know, we know that she's done something.
Yeah.
Because
and most of the time, just to cut you, most of the time, policies are there. There are policies. Policies are there. The enforcement of policy is the biggest issue that we have, you know.
Yeah, and then let us start enforcing it instead of just speaking. Because we've been speaking for 35 years. And we are going hungry. We've been even fed by the country we are in the war.
Because you have to ask this question. Do you need that actually the president to come to Kavango now to be able to start things to be moving? Just think about it this way. Do you need that actually the president to come to Kavango, you know?
So that things start to
be moving. So that means somewhere within our government system, there's a problem.
There's a problem, but the blame cannot just be in the system alone. It's direct to her, because she has people who are representing her in the region.
Yeah.
If the governor is not acting,
but for her,
fire the director, whatever was responsible for the project.
Yeah.
Then fire the governor.
Yeah. But for her, like okay, for her, we give her a little bit of time, you know. It's about it's about few days, a few months actually in the office. So still, you know, we give her a little bit of time, you know, to see. And we have seen people who have been, you know, what other some ministers are doing. People have been fired, you know, and some people have been arrested. So we give her time in terms of that. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's also then looking at the, now you're looking at this, really, do you need it actually the president to come to be able now to have all this is actually moving? You know, where is the ministry?
It's what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
That the people who are there, if they are not already doing what's supposed to be there, do it done. Then fire that person, so that person, if that person is supposed to push, you know, these things are really easy.
Yeah.
It's not really complicated then, because now we are playing blame games.
Yeah.
We are blaming the president. A president bring the minister, a minister blaming the governor, and the governor blaming the director, and so on. It's gone. But seriously, the direction is about to take. You know how many people are so happy now since James Sangwasa dismissed the what? Fatima Muliro. I'm telling you, and then now the other region people are shaking up now.
Yeah,
they don't want even the minister to visit because that is a good example.
That's an enforcement that we need. It's an enforcement exactly. That we need. Yeah.
So what we are looking for, all of us, to have people like that. Because I'm telling you, it's a Ben over Joe. Like now we are talking about what middlemen. I call it a cockroach. Do you remember the MSN? The cockroach, yeah. They are even...
The cockroach, yeah.
Yeah, the cockroach now, they have become even, they don't die anymore for what? What do you call this one? They spray with you, spray them what? Dwarf. They find a way to survive.
Yeah. And this is, just to say, that's a big, big, big issue. Even in the parliament, I was listening to the parliament yesterday where Professor Mpana asking the Minister of Health, you know, where, you know, the machine of cleaning, the cleaning clothes, cleaning the patient's material, it's broken in Katutura. But next door, in the central hospital, they have the machine that is functioning. You know what they do? They have to hire a private company actually to do that. And in the end, and this is not only in Katutura, it's actually happening all over.
All over the country, all over the country.
And now, like the minister said, we realize that now, you know, I think we realize that hiring a private company to do that is more expensive than actually doing it ours. Of course, it would be much cheaper.
Obvious.
But why do we have middle person, you know, people to do that in the first place? You know?
That is the issue. And I'm applauding also her to say, no, this time they are going directly to buy from the supplier. So not anymore with a middleman. And just imagine, these things are happening because now, remember, wherever we go to hospital, whether let me say now there's no medicine, but sometimes maybe there's medicine. They refer to a certain pharmacy. Even the staff themselves, like nurse, they are having something getting from those pharmacies.
Yeah.
Which around the what? Around the, that's why even the now, if you see, they are even not any more far from the hospital. They come and set up nearby the hospital. What do you think? To cut off the distance, you don't need anymore to take what a taxi or whatever.
Yeah.
To go to far pharmacy. No, you just have to walk in. You go and buy that medicine which is not in the hospital. And you're just wondering, how long are we going to continue this way? Seriously, I'm telling you, it will look easy when you are speaking. But when it comes to practical, you remember the other time I'm telling you that why our green scheme are not operating now in your full swing?
Yeah.
Because some people, they're having share in South African retailers. And the South African retailer, they are getting through their what? Home. Grown home where they are, agriculture sector.
Yeah.
That's why they are supplying in here. If you grow our scheme, do you think, then we say no, no more trucker coming from South Africa with even potatoes or onion. Do you see how they are losing out?
Yeah.
Yeah, you see? And then now their share, your share also, you become affected. That's why I'm telling you, it's a hard time to start even this dialect out the woods. They've been there for long. To go home, man. It's a long time. Because these people, they are not even competent. They are not, they are, even in, just imagine, how can you kill off the what, if the machine is broken?
Yeah.
It's what I'm telling you. It's very easy to take a what. Because these people, sometimes they're having their budget. Their money is there. But they need to put it on tenders for, just imagine for tires.
Yeah.
To fix the truck. But you want to put it tenders for somebody to supply you two tires for the tractor.
Yeah. And that's and you have to wait. And how long you have to wait?
It's already costing a lot even for you to come at the board member to come in the meeting. How many? You have to pay them their allowance. These are things which are costing us every day, but we don't see it that way because just imagine even a person putting a tender for the what to design a what, a receipt for payment. Are we serious? You can even just conduct a school in window, even in window by school or academia, kids to come up with something like that. Not even at the university level, which you need to put up a design for me. I will reward you even 500.
Yeah.
That's it. But we are putting a thing that people to do that. No, yeah, we are sick in Namibia, man. Seriously.
Yeah.
There's no more corruption now. Because I'm telling you, people are getting away with this. We look, it looks simple, but at the end of the day, somebody's benefiting.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah, and then we leave a lot of majority in the pool of poverty.
Yeah.
Serious, but seriously, I think it's hard time. If the president is a minute, it's time. We cannot even wait for or partnership, what? PPP.
Yeah.
We have the money which are. JPF is standing there. Social Security money is standing there. You name it, there are a lot of companies which did not come on board. We need to force them.
Mm.
What are you there for? So if you are saying Social Security to social for well-being of our people,
The thing is that what is the same thing that I was trying to argue, that the private sectors, for example, they're looking at that. You remember that there was, I think it's a story that we covered last week or something like that, that there were, the private, what is it? What's the point? I wanted to make that. They evaluate, they look at, is this financial viable? Is it this, you know, it's profitable, you know, for us to get involved? If they see that, well, maybe they look at the condition of the infrastructure and all that, and they realize, well, this is not profitable. The way it's maybe it's run is not profitable. So the private sector is not going to be involved, you know.
They won't.
Yeah? So because for them, they not. Of course, they have their social responsibility, which. Well, they would do that when they know that they are profitable, you know. But otherwise, if it's where that really, if it's really about the business, they look at that and said, well, this is not financial viable. That's not commercial viable for us. So they don't get involved. Yeah.
They don't get involved. That's the thing. And that's what has been happening.
Yeah. And that's the case. Exactly. Yeah. So as you're saying, we have all these and these and this. They look at that and said, no, well, no. First of all, maybe those who are running it are not capable enough or whatever the case may be. We don't prepare to lose our money like that. Well, the government can lose the money, but we don't have to lose.
We don't want to be part of that.
Exactly.
But seriously, my brother, for my conclusion is that let us not now enforce the law which is there.
Yeah.
For things can be done. Because if you are just talking, we will just talk and talk. Nice, sweet talk, but when it comes to practical things which you can see and touch, no, it's not happening. But seriously, we need to enforce the law.
Yeah, the law that need to be. And sometimes we need to change the policy to fit where we are at the moment. you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, some policies were designed and created, developed a long time ago, and they may not actually, you know, beneficial. They may not address the issues that we are addressing, that we are facing at this point in time. Yeah.
I'm telling you, we never change even the apartheid law, still continuing the way it is.
Yeah.
Because remember when we got apartheid, it was also a police, and then it was enforced. But now, a lot of law which is really affecting our people, we let it the way it is. When it comes to even like this municipality bylaw, which I'm having problem with every time.
Yeah.
Because it's enforcing our people to live the way we used to live in poor, not even the way we used to live. Mm. Now we've become so poor, mostly even poverty, which you cannot even afford a bread, my friend.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, we live in the country, we're talking about independence for 35 years. But some countries, they're just doing it without even 2 years, and then you can see the country somewhere. I give you an example of Zambia. Zambia, it was in the mess. But today, how much is the kwanja if you are going to exchange with Namibian dollars?
Yeah.
We are below.
Mm.
But it's just because of the leadership.
Yeah.
Let me end up with my boss. So all right. Other people just.
Yeah, so thank you. Thank you for coming through and your contribution, eh?
All right.
Great.
0833-66091. 0833-66091.
Very good morning.
Yeah.
Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking. I'm fine, and yourself?
Good, Tate Mike.
Mm.
Thanks, man, for the opportunity.
Yeah.
I think it looks like I'd not listened to the rest, almost of the stuff, but since that, who is living now? Who left now?
Mandume.
Ntate Mandume.
Yeah.
He spoke about my very interesting topic.
Yeah.
When he was talking about the, I think it's you also said the, actually it's you who brought it up, eh?
Yeah.
Of that the job, doctor.
Mm, yeah.
Apparently saying that when the machine is broken, you go and hire a private company.
Yeah. Mm.
Look, I've said it many times. Money is a lot in the country. Health sector can be fixed within less than 5 years, less than 2 years, to be honest with you. You know how much we pay for the medical aid?
Yeah.
Yes. That money, people compare state and private. If we could have put the same amount of money in state hospital and private hospital, and then we could compare, they'd say, no, state have failed. State have never failed. What have failed state is the private.
Yeah.
And what have failed state, 90%, and this is what I'm saying now. It's a serious case, eh?
Mm.
Let us investigate all consultants. Any consultation that was done that never led to the development of that institution, that consultant must be arrested.
Yeah.
Yes. It's the people who have brought us into this mess.
So maybe one can say, look, I have given you the blueprint. It's you now to have to implement the blueprint that I've given you.
I fully agree, but they will bring another thing that they will give you things. Look, you think Africa wouldn't have been rich if all these IMF rules and whatever they brought to us, if it was for development?
Yeah.
For the past how many years have we developed even 1 inch? Or we have gone backwards?
Mm.
The Ministry of Health can be fixed. Now, the problem is, which Tate Mandume said also, the minister is either she's also having a practice somewhere, and that should be stopped from now. But if a minister is overseeing a ministry, all ministers must declare that they don't have business interests. They are going to serve the people.
Yeah.
Yes. If you want, like Ichilema says, if you want to buy something expensive, have your own business. And if you want to become a businessman, get out of government. Yes. Go become a businessman there. Why do you want to be a businessman at the same time a minister? Eh? Let those ones to serve the people serve the people. Because you cannot have, it's not business as usual, where the ministers even are coming and acknowledging that,
But he can she can have actually business as long as not within the same field that she is in as a minister.
I want to, but remember, conflict of interest does not only apply when you are not directly.
Yeah.
Conflict of interest at the market price like this. I've got a business. I'm serving the people. You are serving the people. Eh? I'll come to you indirectly.
Mm.
Let's put it this way. If we are to bring two people to for interviews, the son of the president and your son, and we have to give them the job, who do you think will be given the opportunity?
Well, that would depend. Now, the problem is
sometimes
the person. No, the problem is the
genuinely, honestly.
The problem is the person who is giving the job, not the minister anymore, not the minister and the president anymore.
Now, because of that influence, which that's what I call indirect conflict of interest. That's why you see, initially, when they used to say that government must not do business, we understood it, but they were not saying it from the genuine point of view, those who said it.
But
they wanted to
come and James,
the government.
The children of sometimes, you know, I know the perception, sometimes the perception from the public is like, okay, now, the child of a minister, child of the president, also need to be just treated equally like any others.
No,
so
others,
it doesn't mean if they are chosen, it's just because they are the son or daughters of minister and president.
Definitely, I fully agree. I'm not putting them into that situation that they shouldn't be. They are also citizens. They are children like all of us. They are all of us as children.
Exactly.
So I'm just saying it in such a way that if we had to look at that, I was trying to explain the analogy of a conflict of interest.
Yeah.
You get the point?
Okay.
Mm. That's what I was trying to explain.
Way
I said, if you bring two people, who do you think will get? Because me who is giving the job, I'll look at, I think the president, let me favor this one. Because maybe I think I can be favored one day. You are dead, my friend.
Yeah, then you are corrupt.
Exactly. So that's why I'm saying.
As simple as that, you are corrupt.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. No, so I think the minister, if she have acknowledged, then tender was supposed to be cancelled with immediate. If it's there, it should be cancelled with immediate effect, and everything should be directed to the next status. And what is it the problem that they cannot fix that machine? Where are these VCT colleagues of ours, our brothers and sisters, and our children? Where are they?
Mm.
Why couldn't they go? These guys at single quarter there, who normally fix those things. Why couldn't they go there and say, no, guys, come and assist. This is your government. This is your hospital. Those guys are not expensive.
But the other thing is also, you see, sometimes it's very difficult. I know from, if a person does that, you can also look at, you know, but, you know, these people don't even have paper. How do you account to who did, who, you didn't even follow the procedures and all that. And you know, it's not as simple as that, my friend.
I fully agree.
Yeah.
But remember, also there was a doctor in America, a surgical doctor who operated people.
Yeah.
Almost all his operations were successful when he did not have a paper.
Yeah.
And the doctors I think you have heard about it.
Yeah.
Yes. And these guys with all the qualifications from Harvard University. There are a lot of, operations that were not successful.
Mm.
You see? Now, this way people comes about, say, okay, fine, the guy have got a paper, but sometimes it's not a paper. It's understanding of any aspect, the detailed part of it. So if we can now, how do we make it easier? Look, we are advocating, all of us, me and you and everybody, say, let's look at the way to fix things, but not in a corrupt way.
Mm.
The procedure must be followed, but that procedure must be such that if it's essential and it's critical, how do we approach it so that we don't create corruption?
Yeah.
Yes. If it will say, let's look for these guys. That committee should say, okay, fine, we are going to get a guy from Kompany who knows how to do this and this and this, so how to make backgrounds,
Mm.
You get what I mean? But this guy might not have all the requirements we are going to stipulate here. You see? But this guy is good compared to this guy who have got all the condition, who meets all the conditions. So what do we do in such a way that we get the quality out of what we are going to do from our money?
Yeah.
So what we are looking for is quality. Eh?
Yeah.
So I think the minister, I think we have to do that. Mandum also said is it's no longer business as usual, like the president have said. Eh? All of us, let's start that fight to fix our own.
Mm.
I always tell people, one day, whether we like it or not, we'll end up in state hospital. So if we don't fix it today,
yeah,
it will fix us that day.
Mm.
Yeah. So it's either there are two things. Eh? We fix it now, or it fixes us when we go there. Yeah. The day we'll go there. Yes. As human beings, we should be... Look, let's stop promoting these things of... private hospital, private what? These guys are here to make money. Mm. Let me be honest with you. Go to any doctor, any private doctor. Ask for any consultation. First thing they'll look out for is money. So with that private thing, money comes first. State, you come first, money comes second. You get my point?
Yeah.
And that's where we should go. Money must come second because your life is critical. And that's what I always I say. We should advocate for the, non-commercialization of health.
Of health, yeah.
Agriculture.
All right.
And yes, and the minister of also, like the way look, you said, the minister of agriculture, remember that, I think she's now the owner of resources, the natural resources also for what? Fishing sector.
Mm, yeah.
Yes. I think she, if you also suggest like that, Sankwasa and my brother Nekundi,
yeah,
she must now go and change that law that made people to steal from the fishery. Because according to what I heard last time, I think you guys were interviewed the director.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Of the minister of fisheries.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said since that time, imagine up to date, that thing has never been changed. Yet people are in prison. So what is the parliamentarian waiting for?
Mm.
Parliamentarian must go now and bring, say, no, madam, go bring that law. We want to change it here.
Yeah.
Yes. It's time if she's serious. If she takes up to another 6 months, then we know she's not serious. But then the president must do something.
All right.
Thank you very much.
No, thank you. All right. Mm.
Well, our focus is on the green scheme. The president,
very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good morning, Tate Mike.
Good morning. How are you, man?
No, I'm fine, man.
Mm.
Yes, you ask very important questions.
Which one is that?
I think I will try to see how you spoke about the fundings.
Yeah.
And the things. And the concern of one of the small farmers.
Mm, mm, yeah. Often in terms of middlemen. Yeah.
Yeah, in terms of middlemen.
Mm.
Let me start with the funding.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is it the government policy or someone else's policies?
Yeah.
Those green schemes, they are commercial entities, meaning they can produce and make sales.
Yeah. Mm.
Which means that they can generate revenue.
Yeah. That's the idea also, that they become sustainable, you know?
They become sustainable.
Mm.
Which means why can't the government go in the markets, financial markets, borrow on their behalf?
Yeah.
And they borrow. First of all, they need to come up with a feasible study, whatever business, whatever they call it, plan, that a model that has been proven to be, that it's going to work.
Yeah.
Government will come and go to the financial market, borrow whatever amount of money that is needed, and then they give a guarantee. Okay, they can either give a guarantee or they say, they can decide. The government can service the interest rates.
Yeah.
Okay, let us, the government take up that responsibility of paying the interest rates. And then the green scheme will start paying back the capital.
Yeah.
The capital. So, and in the process, remember, you have competent individuals that are running the project.
Mm.
They have all the resources that is needed through the loan that was borrowed. Government is servicing the loan, the interest rates.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the day, obvious, why should it not work?
Mm.
Why, when it comes to green scheme, government is only thinking of, we don't have money to put in the green scheme. Why don't they think of borrowing for the green, on behalf of the green scheme, and just have a model whereby the green scheme, at the end of the day, they will be able to pay back that money.
Yeah, and if you are confident enough that it's going to work, you would be confident enough actually to borrow money, because you know that the green scheme would be able to pay back that money. You know, unless you're not too sure whether this is viable, it's commercially viable, or it's going to be sustainable, then you are not in the position to be able to do that, you know.
If government can borrow money to build a road, if government can borrow money to do other things, but what is that why can't they borrow for this project, unless they are saying this project are not feasible?
Exactly.
Yeah, but to be honest, if you have a business plan with the right people in place, with people who have the skills, the experience, and they remember, when it comes to project like this, you don't just always have to look within the country.
Yeah.
If you cannot find the right person, why don't you get somebody who has track record of running those things profitably anywhere else? Because all what we are interested in is the output.
Yeah.
Yes, we want the output. I don't know if you know, there was a gentleman, I think he was with Speedmaster or somewhere. I cannot remember the whole story now.
Mm.
That guy, he was poached by the government of Zambia.
Mm.
And currently is the one apparently running their feedlot, the Zambian feedlot.
Yeah.
And they are doing extremely very well. Because the Zambians saw the potential in that guy.
Yeah.
So it's exactly the same thing. When you talk of green scheme, the moment you get the right people, the qualified, from wherever they are, you pay them, then the project will be profitable.
Mm.
That's number one. The issue of, AMTA and agribiz dev that you have.
Yeah.
3 years ago, I visited AMTA in Ongwediva.
Yeah.
And I asked a question, because I was very surprised. The price at which they were selling the watermelon, it was very, very, very low.
Yeah.
And then I asked them, listen, how does the farmer make profit when you are selling their product at this cheap price like this?
How much do you sell? How much do you buy from them? Yeah. How,
I asked that question. Mm. No one gave me an answer. And now you have AMTA buying from the farmer at a very ridiculous lower price.
Mm.
That's why they were able to sell their product at a lower price.
Mm.
Because if you are selling me a big watermelon for $35.
Yeah, and actually that's a good point you're making, because now if you can see now the farmers, the small scale farmers, they don't sell to AMTA, because their prices are ridiculous. That's why you have people on the street selling on the street, and then your infrastructure that you, the purpose of creating AMTA then become null and void,
mm-hmm.
Because now people are not coming to sell their stuff there, their produce there, because the prices that you're selling, you're buying their stuff is too low, and they decided I can do that on my own in the street far better than actually selling to you. And then now, what happened to AMTA? AMTA, yeah.
Hmm? Yeah, you'll be surprised to hear that big shops, they are now going and buy product from AMTA.
Yeah.
They buy product from AMTA, they buy the watermelon for $35. They go and sell the same watermelon in their shop for $70 or $80.
Of course, yeah.
That means that $80, it was supposed to be the price that was supposed to be paid by AMTA to the farmers.
Yeah. But if you go there now, it's completely, it's empty. I mean, it's the whole, you know, but it's completely empty. Yeah.
It's because the price they are paying.
Mm.
Remember there was a day I spoke something about the prices that at which farmers or manufacturers are selling their products.
Yeah.
It's not the price they are with. It's not sustainable. Exactly. They cannot expand.
Yeah.
Because that price is just too, if they can't make a living, yes, they will be able to survive, but it's too low. It's not the kind of price they would love to sell their product.
Yeah.
So please, yes, we hear the president. She's speaking. She have good idea. But if they cannot look at what is causing the problem,
yeah,
it won't help. It won't help anything.
Exactly.
And then lastly, financial development. You know, one of the key components of financial sector development, this, you know why, one of the main reasons why government borrow from commercial banks is for the financial sector to develop.
Mm.
That is one of the reasons. The commercial bank goes to the central bank, to the government and say, please, we need to develop, so you must come and borrow from us. And then the government go and borrow from the financial sector, without even negotiating about the interest rate. They just pay the price, the market price,
yeah,
rate.
Yeah.
And then in the process, the financial sector is developing. Now, this is why can't they do the same thing in the agricultural sectors?
Yeah.
Whereby for those projects to develop, governments take up responsibility and say, whatever you produce, we will buy at a market-related price to feed people in prison, to feed the people in the hospital, at school.
It's
that is how you develop a project.
Yeah.
Now you have Dongan Nena whatever producing rice, and they are struggling to sell their rice. Just imagine,
yeah,
having those government projects, and they are struggling to sell their product at a market-related price.
Mm. And also, you're still allowing actually import of rice from outside. And you have actually the Dongalinena rice here in the country.
It does not make sense.
It
defeats logic. Why can't the government say, produce whatever rice you produce? We will come and buy it at a market-related price.
Price, mm.
Market, I'm not talking about this price where you push it down and you kill the business. Market-related price, where you can make your profit and you cover your cost.
Yeah.
Why can't do it? That's the only way you can develop a sector. And I think, yes, government, the president, her excellency, she has good intention.
Yeah.
But as long as she's not prepared to address the issue, the real issue, whatever she say, it's just a matter of time before it disappears with the air.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, Mike.
No, thanks, man. Thanks for coming through and for your contribution here.
No, you're welcome.
Great.
All right, yeah. So that's even the thing is that even what we put much of the money that we put into the green schemes, if there are ground issues are not being solved. So we're talking about AMTA, you know, where now when small scale farmers, the prices that they're buying, it's absolutely ridiculous. So what happened? People started to sell their own thing in the street. And then what happened to AMTA? You know, if you go in there, it's empty. Now you have a building, you have, that was created for this kind of, for a purpose of actually be able to buy things from small scale farmers, you know, and then, but now it doesn't happen. And unless we deal with those kind of things, we can set up and, you know, but still, the operation may become a problematic. Like, as you said, why can't we, let's say, for example, you know, you stop, or maybe not stop. Let's say, for example, you know, the rice that comes from whatever production that comes from these green schemes, they go directly to hospitals, they go directly to schools, they go directly to prison, they go direct, you know? So then there's a market for this. So, but if the produce comes now and you compete with, you know, with what is coming from South Africa, what is coming from Brazil, what is coming, those are cheaper, far cheaper. So, okay. And therefore you won't be able to compete. And then, well, as Uncle Bada was saying, so certain things get rotten, not because they cannot, they get rotten, not because, you know, because people, they are too much, you know, it's just because they are more expensive compared to the things that are imported in. And therefore, people actually go and buy the shop. It's like when we have people there, we have, those people are selling outside. So what do? We go and buy and pop. We go and buy and Pick and Pay or Choppies or whatever or ShopRite, and we leave. And we leave our people here who are selling outside. So what happened to their stuff? They get rotten because we go and buy far cheaper. What is far cheaper in the shop? Huh? So, and definitely the schemes that we're talking about, you're going to see them in the same light. Huh? Our telephone number, 0833-66091, 0833-66091. So you're most welcome to come through and have your contributions as well. So let's look at today's, while you're coming through, you're most welcome to come through. Even if I'm going ahead with the second item. So you're welcome. Just come through and I'll give you, time for you to air your opinion or your perspective. So, now we today's, in today, one of the headline from the villagers is hybrid solar system to benefit three green schemes. You know, when you hear that and you think brilliant solar power, you know, for our farms in a country that's full of, you know, blessed with the sunshine. So it's no brainer. So this is progress. And it's true. It is. Now, as I always said, this is Unpacking the Day. What we do here, we don't just read the headlines. So we read between the lines. So now, first, you know, the context, yeah, for everyone who might not be familiar. So we have the Green Schemes project, a place like Dongalinena, Sikondo and Tunda, all this up in the north, you know, the big idea behind them is to boost our food security. We talked about it. Grow our food, create jobs, then rely less on import. Okay? That's a noble and a necessary goal as well.
A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Food insecurity, or what is it?
Food security.
food security. That one is a tough game.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, the journey of the food from farmer to table is, there is something that we don't have, which is calling processing and manufacturing.
Yeah.
That one we don't have in the country. That's why you can.
Now, quickly before, just on that, ne? We don't have that in the country. And given now the fast pace that the new administration is actually, you know, moving. Mm-hmm. Is that realistic? Now, we don't have, you know, those factories to be able to process this, not in any of the regions. How realistic is that then, or then just actually talking about this without a really realistic plan?
Thank you for the output. No matter, it's a question.
Yeah.
So, that is what I'm saying. We don't have proper researchers and the good advice into the president. You see now, they are fighting to funding the green scheme.
Yeah.
Which, as the previous on the program, I asking about where are they expecting to be selling those production product. So at the end of the day, it's the same thing as I said. If we start funding those processing and manufacturing companies which are coming in,
yeah,
as a small company, for example, now we have Bokoma and Namibi Mills.
Mm.
So it's where we end up motivating others to do the same. Because this fresh or lower product that we are selling,
mm,
the market is small.
Yeah.
Because of the South African supplier.
Supply. Yeah.
Yeah. So, which is there. So, for them now to make it and accommodate it to the Namibians, they need to stop funding the green scheme and funding the processing business people which are coming in.
Mm.
So if they like the Omaranga, what? So Omaranga, the one between Akuna and
the Mahangu stuff and
those are the people that need to be motivated. Those are the people that need to understanding that, okay, we are also needing the cooking oil. We are also needing the what. So we are also needing the gem and all of those things. So how do we now buying those watermelon? How do we buying carrots? How do we buying those things? So if we come on that harvesting and the washing, because the processing have three pillars, four pillars, which is, as I said, we don't have even from harvesting only to washing those carrots and or peeling it to sell it in as a finished product. Mm. It's not easy in the Namibians. So if you now, AMTA is there to facilitate this, but not to selling for you.
Yeah.
So even agronomic, I end up engaging with one member who give me even an example of the one guy who was selling this spinach. So at the time he refusing the price, and after 3-4 days, he accepting the price, which in the thing already losing the shelf life. You see now.
Yeah.
So those are the things that we have in the country. Any farmer can think that if I'm now harvesting with 5 or 6 tons of potatoes, who is going to wash in for me that potatoes so that even the fish and chips can buying those products. We don't have those capacity because we don't have people who are advising the public there so that people will start understanding that, oh, we are failing here, we are failing here.
Mm.
So green scheme, no matter how fresh it will be produced, they will be fighting with the South African to selling those fruit and veg stuff.
Exactly. Yeah.
But what we need here is the which we call it processing is only that ingredient or what. Mm. Yeah, because processing ingredient is, which means you are mixing. You are buying carrots, you are buying onions, you are buying tomatoes, you are buying all of the farm product. You are buying, one company is buying those products, which means if we have 3 or 4 companies in the country, so we are already covering the whole farm.
Yeah.
You understand? Mm. So that's why in South Africa, you're finding a lot of these processing companies. Some, they are not even having capacity for producing 100,000 tins.
Mm.
But they are helping the small farm. So for you now to sell, those open market or people who are selling street vendors, to us who are having value of money, we think their product is a rejected product.
Yeah. Mm.
We don't think they are fresh as they explained to us. No. We think it's, if you start understanding the rejected product is a spoiled product.
Mm.
You understand? Which was maybe spoiled by the insector, which was spoiled by not watering enough, which was. So those are the products that some people, they don't want to buy it because they thought the food expert never be tested those type of foods.
Yeah.
But you don't know which farm they came from.
Mm.
Eh? These people are just trying to make a living. And they are supporting their brothers and sisters who are owning farms, cropping farms and do that. But at the end of the day, they are selling it as a rejected product.
Mm.
So we need the people that they need to as I said, they need to advise the president that this is what we need to inject. How many processing companies do we have in the country? None. So let us motivate our people.
Mm.
Eh? So those are the things that we need to start if you want to using our money. But if you look at where we are,
I'm telling you, people are funding things that they don't understand. How many money have we lost to funding those farms?
Yeah.
Cattle farming. It was about, if you go to Ministry of Trade, you will hear that, no, we're funding what, milking machines, what, at the end of the day, they are nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
Because people, they don't know how to do it, to do it. Or if I'm buying that machine for milk, on which farm I can get those milk. So at the end of the day, I will not put using it.
Mm.
So I got it for 500,000. But for me to get that, no people who are venturing on selling fresh meat.
Yeah.
So that is where the problem. That's why I'm saying we need the advisor that is understanding the market.
Yeah. Mm.
So those are the type of people. No matter president will say what. That's why all of the previous administration failed.
Yeah.
Mm. It's because of what we don't have. But you are still in Kamu to sing the same song that was others have been singing. So that is where the problem is. Let's talk about the processing. Let's talk about food from farm to table.
Yeah.
How it be done? What is the processing? Those are the things that we need to discuss. And then people start thinking that, oh, we are failing. Because agronomic and AMTA, they are there.
Mm.
But they are not a seller. What? They are not a processing company. No, they are just there to facilitate, to show you this is the market.
Hmm.
But the market that they are showing you, there is somebody already. If you go there to spa, they said no, we have already a supplier. Maybe we're buying 2 carats from you. Anyway, that is what the problem is.
All right. No, thanks for coming through and for your contribution.
Thank you much.
All right. All right. So our time, it's about 7 minutes before we come to the end of unpacking the day. So we still have about 7 minutes. We can still have about you. You can still come through. 08333 66091. 08333 66091. You know, take up those 7 minutes. I can give you all 7 minutes. They can still have two people coming through and have your opinion. Yeah, so as we really say, as we say that, you know, the real test will not be in the speeches. You know, speeches can be really nice, and it will be in the budget allocation. So the budget allocation that we can see, so that we can have, you know, processing plants, you know, factories, manufacturing factories and all that. So it will be in the transparency of the ministries, of the operations, you know. So it will be whether that, as I talked about, that small scale farmer, you know, so will be able to buy things cheaply and be able to sell, you know, cheaply. So if he has to compete with South Africa, you know, with the imports from South Africa, the likelihood of things is getting rotten and all that, it's there. I think this is also something that, you know, Kanchengo was talking about yesterday. So, yeah, so 08333 66091. So you can come through and have your, we have about 6 more minutes to go. So please, let's eat up those minutes quickly.
Omutiha with the Kirokaguna, E. Matina, Omjo. Chicago Safa, Nana, Longishifa, Yai, Shuita Moshiwana, E. Moyao, Otaingo, Samwini, Anagashifa, Yanamibia, Ombitom Banawa, Orangeka. Saithanina, Omeguro, Nidanitoma, Yue, Yongishifa, Yokupitramo, Eagle FM Media House. We 20 Mimeha, Uka Kombanga Nina. Kara omkwashipareki uimopo yomo programa zetu. Moambo dengira selma kodara hitatu imu. Datundatu heari hamano tano oaniyaji. Ikele FM. So aya.
no matter where you are. If you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
So a very good morning to you, and welcome to Unpack the Day if you're just joining us. Yeah, it's about 4 minutes left. I was just getting into our second item. That's a story in today's edition of The Villager. So you keep knocking, please. I want someone to finish these minutes that we still have, so you may come through. The stories, it's about the hybrid solar system to benefit the three green schemes. So, and as one of the biggest enemy, so one of the biggest enemy, a huge enemy for this, I can even call it an invisible enemy that has been crippling them, that has been crippling the green scheme for years, is not the pests, is not the drought. Do you know what it is? One of the huge, you know, big enemy of this is actually electricity bill. So it is electricity bill. That's why the president actually comes up that, you know, so we need to come up with a different approach. So, and the article mentioned that from the very one that we are looking at, and even this one, that one farm like Ndongalinena was spending up to 12 million a year on electricity. So $1 million a month, for electricity, sometimes just to power, you know, just to power the water, you know, their water pumps. 12 million. So, and this money that is, and imagine those 12 money, it's a money that's not going to buy, it's a money that is not going to buy better seed, maintaining tractors, or paying workers more, you know, increase maybe the salary of the workers. It's going straight to the power utility. So with that kind of financial bleeding, I can tell you, you can see why production has stalled at the sum of this multi-million dollar national asset. So there's no way you can make actually production, make profit as well. So the government announced they are installing hybrid solar system. The Minister of Agriculture says this is it's urgent, and it should be done by the end of September. It should be done by the end of this month. So installing this hybrid solar system. So this, we are told, will slash, this is what they say, will slash the cost, those 12 million cost. I mean, 12 million of electricity. Now it will really slash the cost and make the farm sustainable. That's we are told. And that sounds, you know, it definitely sounds good. You know, it sounds perfect. So, but we don't have much time actually to go into that, to look at some of the, of the issues. Like the first question I always ask, who is paying for this and how much that it will cost? So maybe that's something for tomorrow, or we may have something different tomorrow. But if we don't, we may get into this a little bit just to complement what we were talking earlier. So that's where we end up today. And thank you for your contribution as usual. And we don't need to, as part of the program, it's we allowed to disagree, to agree to disagree, and to fight and not fight in terms of, you know, insulting each other or saying nasty things to each other. But, you know, this is the whole question. That's the whole point of the program. You know, you're most welcome to come with a different opinion, different perspective, different angle. You know, I don't need to agree with it. You don't need to agree with me. So that's what it is all about. All right. So, let's do that again tomorrow. We start at 8 until at 10 o'clock. So for me, it's a goodbye. I'm going to leave you with Tate France coming up with Kuthamusha. I'm out of here.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo chikao shafa sana na longe shifa ya ishiwike moshiwana iye moyao ota ingongo tisa mwene anage shifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa olonjika seitha nina omayaguro nirandi toma iwe yonge shifa yoyeo kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa letu Moambo, dengera selma, konara hita tuimu. Datu, heari hamano tano, oliyaj. Eagle FM, so I.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend.